You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi. Hi, Shireen. This is Anna. This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
Today, we are joined by the fabulous Dr. Delia Malik. And I said it in an Arabic accent because she deserves it. Also, I kept mispronouncing it wrong in English. So I said it in Arabic just to be safe. She's amazing. We talk about her life growing up as an Egyptian American, studying in London, starting comedy in London, living in Egypt with her family for a while, and what she's been up to during this pandemic.
And how she became a doctor. Fascinating stuff. Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi.
We have a guest. They're here because we've literally been trying to get Shireen to pronounce her name correctly.
I explained this before we officially started, but I second guess myself every time I say any name in real time. Like I will short circuit in front of you because I want to say it the way I say it in my head and I know it's wrong. And then it's like in real time, you see me short circuit. It doesn't matter. We have a guest today. I'm really excited to talk to on this podcast. We met a couple weeks ago. We're both writing. Actually, it's going to, by the time this airs, this show would already have happened, but we're both writers on a late night show, a digital late night show that is happening on the 19th of February. It's for Fizza Dasani, who is another previous guest of the show. And it's been really fun. And I really like getting to know this person. And she's really funny. And it's Dahlia Malik.
Shireen.
Dahlia. I said Dahlia. I said it.
You started with Dahlia.
One of the times was right. I don't know. There were a lot of versions, but
Dahlia. Shireen, it's
Dahlia.
Okay.
Dahlia.
No, this
Malik
is good.
It's a beautiful
you
name.
Don't edit this. You should keep all of this in.
We're definitely keeping it in. I'm a wreck.
So many people like mess up my name and I feel like it's so easy. So I'm always like, what's happening here? And then I start wondering if I'm saying my name right. So
I've said my name wrong. I mean, me and Anna both have talked about this before, but like Anna, for example, is Anna, but people will call her Anna. And I say my name so like it's Shireen or Shireen, but really it's Shireen. It's like there's an E there for a reason. But even I say it when someone asks me, I say it the American way because I'm just like, call me anything. I don't care at this point.
The Amrikai way. Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, I feel like your instinct is to say Dahlia because like a long hard A like that is more Middle Eastern sounding. But
yeah, perhaps.
Could you say your name, how you would say it, like if you were in like Arabic? With your family? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Delia. I always feel like I'm being like yelled at when I hear it that way. Delia. Like Delia. I'm in trouble.
Delia makes sense to me. So Delia, I'm not going to get that wrong because I hear it in Arabic. I hear it in my Arabic voice in my head. I hear it in my mom's voice in my head. I get that right.
Maybe
every time.
I'm saying it wrong then because because Dahlia isn't the same as Delia.
So Delia, so, Delia, I mean, I feel like we can go back and forth about like how maybe our parents should have spelled our names differently for just the pure reason of pronouncing it for other people. But yeah. It's really not you, it's me in this case. It's really me. Like you don't understand, my brain is constantly short-circuiting. I should be embarrassed about the long me saying your name like 50 times before we started recording. But you know what? At this point, this is me. This is the real me.
A lot of people call me Dahlia to the point that I don't really hear it anymore. So I don't really correct people because I've it's just been my whole life. But then sometimes people will call me Dahlia. And I feel like that's a legitimate mispronunciation because it's like you don't know just by looking at it where to put the emphasis.
That's,
you know,
true. Like Dahlia, so, which is your
Dahlia.
Dahlia.
My God.
Anna's is so mad.
I know, it's just wild to me at this point.
Delia.
Every 5 minutes I'm gonna be like,
I'm just gonna
Dahlia.
Call you,
Delia. You can call me Dahlia. I'm
Dahlia
fine with
sounds
that.
Beautiful. It's both of them, all of them are beautiful. I'm completely irredeemable at this point. But without further ado, our guest is already here. And we've been meeting for this late night show, which has been really fun. But we meet every week. We've been meeting every week for like a month. And so we haven't, you and I haven't really gotten a chance to get to know each other. So I thought this was the perfect excuse to have you on and to know you. So let's just start at the beginning. Let's start with where you grew up.
I mostly grew up in Southern California. I was born in Texas, but we didn't stay there, so I have no memory of Texas. Mm. My parents moved from Egypt in the 80s.
Egypt.
Yeah.
Egypt. You also talked about right before we started recording that you're Egyptian, and Rami Malek is also Egyptian. And
he is, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's half Egyptian. And y'all might be related. Who knows?
He's also from Southern California, I believe. So.
Oh.
You never know.
Oh,
yeah.
You never know.
Rami Malek, if you're listening to this.
And he is. No, he is.
Which you obviously are. Could you please email me? Just yes or no. Are we related?
And the email is dahlia@dahlia.malek.org. Please reach out.
dahlia@dahlia.com.
I hate everybody.
dahlia@dahlia.
I don't know what's wrong with my brain. It's not, it's just, it's, I don't know, whatever. I have no good excuse.
That would be like me being like anna@anna.com. Spelled the same though. So
really no reason. Yeah.
But I hope you forgive me and don't take it personally that I'm just dumb.
You're forgiven.
Thank you so much. Okay. I want to know, did your parents meet in Egypt or meet in the States?
They met in Egypt. They actually met way before they got married. I think my mom was like 17 or something when she met my dad.
Wow. Why did your parents decide to immigrate? I'm assuming they were already married at that point.
I think so. I'm really bad at this like family history. It's all like mixed up in my head, but maybe they got married and then my dad came over first to like check things out.
That's exactly
usually how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That also sounds like I could have made it up or I have the timeline wrong. Maybe he went back and married her after he did that. But there was some checking out of America before.
Mm-hmm. That Why part did they decide on Texas initially?
My dad's brother was living in Texas, so I think they just wanted to like have someone they knew nearby.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So they came to Texas, and then you were born. Do you have any siblings?
I do not.
Okay, so they pop you out, and then they make their way out to SoCal eventually, Southern California?
Yeah, so they moved to like Pasadena, I think, or somewhere in LA.
Oh, so you're like kind of an LA kid.
Sort of, yeah. I grew up between there and Orange County. And then I hated Orange County so much that I pretty much, like, when I left home, I left the entire country because I was like, I am done.
What do you mean? You actually left the country?
I like studied abroad for a while in England, and then I wound up just like staying in England for a while.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
I've moved around a lot. Like I moved back to Egypt for a while, and then I moved to England for like 4.5 years.
Wow.
And then I came back here in 2015.
What part of England were you in?
I was in London. I did my PhD there, and I also started comedy there.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. You started comedy in London? I don't think we've had a lot of people that did that, if any.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to do that, but that's what happened.
I was wondering why your handle says doctor, but now I know you have a PhD, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's just me being annoying, like, because it's really the only thing I've ever done with my PhD is call myself doctor on Twitter. So,
what's the PhD in?
It's in law. I studied international human rights law.
That's cool. What is that like to get a PhD in? Because I only really understand PhDs in like science bullshit. What if I was like an anti-vaxxer and I'm joking? But yeah, what is that like? What do you do? What do you
study? You're like
study?
Doing quotation marks. You're like science.
Yeah, what about, I usually hear about science, quote unquote, but like, what is this other world you're doing? And I am curious. Like, what do you do to get a PhD? Like, do you have
to
do like
in the
a thesis?
UK, I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think you have to have a master's to do a PhD program over there, or at least with my program, you had to do that. So I had done my master's in Egypt. That was part of why I was living there. And then I like stayed longer in Egypt. But then I moved to the UK for the PhD program. And it was mainly like a research degree. So it was kind of just me writing my dissertation alone.
Yeah.
And then occasionally meeting with my supervisor. And there was a bit of training and like teaching. But for the most part, it's really focused on like writing the dissertation and presenting at conferences. Not really. I was a little disappointed in it because I don't know. The good thing about it is that I had a lot of freedom to do research on pretty much whatever I was interested in, but I was disappointed in like where the money would go in terms of like funding and stuff. Cause I was focusing on Africa and human rights, and those are not that popular of subjects in law. So it's not like corporate, you know, it's not like a money-making thing. So I was a little disappointed by that. And I was also pretty bored, which is why I wound up like running toward comedy. I just wanted something different.
Yeah, wait, I'm curious about that. So before you thought about doing comedy in London, was it something that was on your mind at all growing up or like as a kid or how did you find it?
I always liked comedy, but I don't think I knew that it was something a person, like a regular person could do, you know? So I don't think I caught the signs early on. Like I didn't dream of being a stand-up or anything, but it was kind of something I gravitated toward later. And I feel like I got carried away. Like I fell into it and then I just kept doing it. So
what was it like starting in London? I'm curious what the London comedy scene is like, especially as like, in their mind, a foreigner.
It was pretty great. I don't know if it's the same to start out there now, but at the time it was great. I felt like there was a lot of solidarity. We all refused to pay to play. That's like something that people just across the board were so furious with. And I feel like that's not the case in every scene. Like I've seen that pay to play is a thing in other scenes. So I was always like really surprised how taboo that was in like the London scene, but not necessarily ever everywhere else. Just a lot of like advocating for yourself to get paid, because I know that's always like an issue in the arts in general and in comedy. So I always thought that was good.
Pay to play, is that basically like bringer shows in a way?
They also had problems with bringer shows, but it's also like literally putting money in a bucket for stage time, which I think is something that probably happens in New York.
That's fucked up.
Here I kind of see it as like you're helping support an open mic or you're helping the venue or whatever.
Right.
But over there, it was more of an exploitative thing. So, or at least I think that's how it was perceived.
Yeah.
And like, we have like submission fees for festivals, like for comedy festivals here. And that's like not a thing that I'm aware of over there. Or at least it's not as common as it is here.
Well, it's all a fucking money game, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just makes it feel, it makes it just it, like drives home that the people with money will be the ones to come out on top, or like the ones that will be on stage in this case. But what did your parents think about this pivot?
Well, I didn't tell them about it for a really long time. And then when I did, I kind of played it down. So I kind of made it sound like it's more of a hobby. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that much. It's just something my friends are doing. And I'm just kind of along for the ride. I think they've seen that that's not necessarily the case because I'm always like, or not during the pandemic, but before I would like travel for comedy all the time. So I think they know I'm more serious about it than I let on. Mm-hmm. But they're probably also wondering, like, why I'm not on TV or what I'm doing with my life.
They don't ask directly, or are they just kind of letting you?
They're just like, why don't you just, like, call Conan, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, classic.
I love when an immigrant parent says that. They're like, why don't you just ask them if they have any openings? Just like, call them up. Call
I'm
them
like,
up
you know, I didn't
openings.
Think of that. Thank yeah. you so much for that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's that easy. You just call Conan.
Yeah. You're like, hey, bud. It's interesting. You brought up growing up in Orange County a little bit. And I was born in Anaheim, but we moved around a lot when I was a kid. We went back to Syria mm-hmm. for a minute. We came back. I went to school mostly in San Diego, but I had family in Orange County in like Anaheim area. And we would always go to like what they're now calling Little Arabia, which is, I think, and yeah. they're trying to get it actually officially called that for the as far as the community goes, which I think is totally fair because it's a huge Arabic community down there. And my parents mm-hmm. would like make the trek up there just to like go to this one specific store to get goods. But I also relate to not liking it at all when I was a kid because I totally felt the same. Have you gone back at all and seen it in a different light now, or is it kind of you're just I don't know? Is there a new appreciation for it? Because maybe it was me missing my parents during the pandemic call thing, but yeah. I went last year to this bakery called Forn El Hara, and it sells these menaish. It's like ooh. Fluffy bread with like za'atar on top or like hamara on top or anything, and it was so good, and it tasted... My whole point is, I got really nostalgic, and
yeah.
I ended up really appreciating that there's this whole strip of Anaheim and Orange County that's all like my people.
Yeah. I always think of North County as having more culture because my parents live in South County and they mm-hmm. still live there. So it's not all bad. I still do hate it very much. It was pretty Trumpy. I'm
yeah,
guessing
it's surprisingly
it's still...
so red. It's really disheartening.
Well, it's rich white people.
Yes. And they probably haven't moved on from the election result. So
mm-hmm. That is a big downside to that area. Yeah. I mean, that's what I associated with growing up. It was just like it's backwards. It's all backwards.
What yeah. led your parents to that area?
That is a great question. I will never understand my parents' love for Orange County.
I mean, I can tell you my parents, they like the community over there. When they first came here, they just appreciated that they can go to a store and speak Arabic. And they had imports from the homeland, you know? And I think that's a little bit like why in Michigan or anywhere else where you see these big Middle Eastern communities, it's because people keep going there for that sense of community and for that, like, especially if you're the, like, in my dad's case, he was the only one from his family that was here for a long, long time. So
yeah.
you get community where you can get it, for lack of a better phrase, if that resonates.
That makes
I don't know
sense, but like
didn't.
At what cost? You know,
true.
I don't know. I'm like, you can get that in LA. I love LA so much, and I'll never understand. They just don't like cities. They like the suburbs, which I understand. I like the fact that you don't have to like fight for a parking space. That's great, but other than that, I don't understand. It's like there's mm-hmm. nothing to do.
Yeah, my parents are the same.
Closes at
they're
nine.
They're not city people. They like yeah. their privacy and the quiet and no crowds.
I mean, I'm becoming that way as I get older. I want to be like more and more isolated. I'm just like, can we move to a farm like mm-hmm. in the middle of the desert somewhere? But I don't know. Suburbs are cool, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of just want to live on a mountain somewhere in a forest. A forest is my dream locale. Just
don't do it, man. Climate change. You got to get to flatlands and valleys.
I mean, you're not wrong.
At this point, someone was like, wouldn't you want a house in the Hollywood Hills? And I'm like, to what? Have it burned down in the next wildfire? Go fuck yourself. I'm going to the deepest valley possible, honey. You ain't finding me, fire.
You're very good point. Very good point.
Not today, okay? Yeah. With how this climate change is going. And on top of how this climate change is going and how on top of the government is with it. Just, no. No.
Yeah, very good point.
I'm moving to Wisconsin, okay? I literally meant the valley, like the deep, deep center of the country valley. Oh, not even LA. I'm going inland. You're not going to find me. And that's where I'll stay. I'm going to start a new community once everything else goes down.
Honestly, the Zoom that we're looking at you from, it's just like your background is just a blur. You can be there right now.
Mind your business. That's my new Zoom thing. Just mind your business. Don't worry about all the clothes laying on the ground. Okay, mind your business. I'm straight up like on the edge of like a collapse mentally. I'm so tired today. Woo! I had to give my cat his first insulin shot. I'm so cranky.
Oh, no.
It's trim? Fine. It's fine. Yeah, trim's fine. But like still so cranky. It's like, well, I'm a doctor now too. What is this? This pandemic is killing me.
Wait, if it wasn't for the pandemic, would a doctor give him insulin shots?
I don't even know. Maybe he wouldn't even have diabetes. I don't know. God damn these animals. It's like I'm a vet. I'm working a full-time job. I gotta host a pod. Like, it's like so many things. I'm just so cranky. Now half the country has no power and is like in under ice. Like, what is going on, man? Can't do it. Sorry. Well, and to your parents' point. yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Community makes sense. Like, I love the idea that there's like a strip in Westwood called like Tehrangelis that like I can go to and get like Persian food or Persian ice cream or like a book of prayers because my mom says I need to pray more because I'm literally, as you just heard in the last 5 minutes, losing it.
One of my favorite memories together, you and I, Anna, is when you took me to Tehrangelis and we ate at Flame.
I got you that saffron crown.
We got that saffron ice cream, right?
Yeah, yeah. Saffron and rose water.
Oh, it was so good. I'm going to be thinking about that as we go to our first commercial break. We'll be right back.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
We are back. I feel like we already fast forwarded so much into your life.
But let's go back a second. So you're in Orange County, you leave, you're like, fuck this place. And then you go to the UK. And then like, what led you to move to Egypt?
So I studied abroad in the UK a couple times, but I finished college in Berkeley, California. Mm-hmm. So I was like in NorCal for a while. I thought that was like where I was supposed to live.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same. I was the same.
And then it changed.
What the magical allure of NorCal, but I totally relate.
Yeah. I think I just saw like a progressive city, like quote unquote progressive. And I was like, this is everything that Orange County isn't. And then I didn't know what to do with myself after college because I majored in English. And wanted to move to Egypt because I felt like I wasn't that connected to it and my language needed help. My Arabic needed help. And I was like, well, I can't just like move to Egypt. So I decided to do, I decided to pivot and do a master's degree in international human rights law. And I focused on refugee studies. And so that led to like working with refugees and stuff over there. So I stayed for a while. I think I was there for like 5 years.
Were you staying or seeing a lot of your family, or was it kind of like a solo thing for you?
Yeah, I, that was another part of it. I got to see like aunts and uncles and cousins who I don't normally see. And I got to know my grandma a lot better before she passed. And like I got to go to her memorial and stuff. Like I was the only member of the family from the United States who was able to go. So that was all really good for me. And yeah, I guess that's how I wound up there, just not really knowing what to do with myself and having no real direction during and after college. Yeah. And probably still.
I mean, I envy the ability to do that. I really wish there was a way for me to have done the same thing. I had a friend that kind of did the same thing. She's Russian. She went to Russia after she graduated and she stayed with her grandma, and she was one of the only people that was there when she died. And I, for many reasons, Syria was not open to have me. And I'm really glad you had that chance, because it's so important to like reconnect with a place that's like constantly changing. And especially if I feel like me and Anna, we would visit our family, correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, but like we would go there like once a year, once every other year. And even those 2 years, sometimes in between, is completely mm-hmm. different. Like your family, your little cousin that's a baby is taller than you suddenly, or like the country is completely different. And I think if anyone has that ability to go, I mean, obviously not now, traveling is a nightmare and not recommended, but I think if you have the ability to go and revisit whatever this homeland is to you, it's so important. And I really, I hope everyone takes the opportunity if they have it. But yeah, I'm glad that you did that. And you had that connection with your grandma and your aunts and your uncles, and your Arabic probably really improved because of it too.
Yeah, I feel like I understood my family a lot better after that experience. And just seeing how the country works.
That's always a great moment when you look around and you're like, you are the reason I'm fucked up.
Exactly. Yes.
You tried to make me be like, you're so emotional. You crazy motherfuckers. I see you for what you are. That's literally every, literally I spent like every year I would, as I got older and was able to like truly understand things going on around me, I'd be like, it's you. It's y'all. It's in the blood. It's the blood, you know, like I, and you know, of course I was not doing this out loud because my dad told me not to specifically, but like it is a fascinating thing where you see where you're from and it's like everything starts to fall into place and click and be like, oh my God, I am my aunt who's throwing shit. And you're like, yes. There you go. That's me. That is me right there. Holy shit. That explains it all. It's like the picture comes into focus and you're like, yep. That makes sense. That's my aunt, because that's me. Same vibe. Same vibe. And it's really cool. It's cool when you have that disconnection, like immigrating to a different country, or you know, your parents immigrating and you have to kind of be raised outside of what your whole family is. Like what the entire, I keep saying vibe, but it's true. It's like what your family vibe is, your extended family vibe, which does help paint the picture of who you are as a being. And it helps paint the picture of who your parents are as a being.
Yeah.
Also, every time I went to Egypt with my family, it was kind of like I was a part of their plans.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of being dragged along to whatever they did. I didn't know where anything was. I didn't know how to ask for anything. And so going there on your own with independence is so completely different.
Yeah.
It's like we would just go once a year and like see their friends, their family, maybe like do something touristy, like go to the pyramids. And then that would be our trip. Yeah. And, you know, get some sort of funky diarrhea while we're there. But then when I went by myself, I was like, oh, I have to figure out like public transportation and I have to figure out groceries and how to pay my rent and just like basic stuff. And you can't really do that under your parents' wing.
Right. You have to be independent in a place that previously you were just taken care of all the time.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, to Anna's point, like growing up, there's no context to why your parents are the way they are. Cause like you don't go to grandma's for Thanksgiving. You're like, you know, it's just you're so insular and you only have your immediate family. And it's so isolating sometimes because of that. And in my case, we became all really close. My immediate family, like my parents and my sisters and I were, we have like a fam text thread, for example, that we always talk in. But it's because I think we were the only ones that really understood each other. And even that sometimes wasn't enough. Like even, so when, for example, if my sister didn't understand me, I was a weirdo, you know? But when you go and you get all the context to like, oh, that's why we are this way. And it's, I don't know, it's a whole experience that I'm sure so many children of immigrants can relate to.
Yeah. And then I see like my parents, well, it's mostly my mom's siblings, because most of my dad's siblings like immigrated, but my mom's siblings stayed, some of them. So it's interesting to see like who stayed in Egypt and who left and how that affected them. Because I'm like, I sometimes feel like my family who stayed in Egypt is like a lot more chill. They just seem a lot more normal than my parents.
I haven't been to Egypt. I've always wanted to go. I have some family there that have immigrated there because of Syria. I've always wanted to go. My parents have been. Where in Egypt is your family from?
My mom is from Cairo and my dad is from a village called Samalot, which is in Elminia. It's kind of like further south from Cairo. Mm. It's in Upper Egypt.
Can I ask, so your parents met when they were young, but what did your dad like pursue as a career over there? What did they both do in Egypt before they immigrated?
My dad was an engineer and my mom was a dentist. And they both wound up doing that here in the States. They're retired now, but that was what they eventually did here after, you know, taking all their exams over again, basically starting over. But yeah.
Well, to surprise no one, all three of our fathers were engineers. So.
In the year's least surprising news, all our dads are in fact engineers. Wow. This podcast should have been called Ethnically Engineer. Engineeringly ambiguous.
That kind of sounds like it's about eugenics.
No.
And it is what it is. Look, I'm not going to deny it. No, I'm sorry. Please, no one quote that. No one clip this out and be like, that's what she believes in.
Ethnically engineered. The way we should be.
We should all be mixed.
That is the dream, though. We should all be mixed. So then we don't have to do it. Aggressive.
It's going to happen regardless.
But even if we were all mixed, it would become like the light skinned people are the white supremacists, because we can't escape from fucking this bullshit. This is how we are created to think. I know. I would love to go to Egypt and take one of those photos in front of the pyramids where I'm like jumping up like, woo! That's like what I see every person who's been to Egypt do in front of the pyramid. They're all like, woo! They like do that jump up like, oh my God! And they jump up and I'm like, what? Is this the thing to do in Egypt? To go to the pyramids?
Yeah, it's that. And then you like go to the Sphinx and you stand so that it looks like you're face to face with it. And you're like either kissing it or you like squish it with your fingers.
Well, you'll be seeing me on my Instagram. As soon as I get that vaccine, that is the first thing I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa where you try and like hold the tower up.
That's what I've seen with the pyramids. People just like leaning on it because it's like angled. They're just like their elbows on it or like their whatever. I mean, low-key disrespectful in my opinion, but you know what?
No, we need more of that.
The only picture I have is from behind the Sphinx where I'm just kind of like giggling. Like I have my hand in front of my mouth like, because it's like the Sphinx's butt. Ha ha.
Hell yeah.
I thought you were going to be like, the Sphinx is so funny. But then you said the Sphinx's butt. And that's what took
it's
me for
like,
a loop.
Oh, it's the other side. Ha ha ha.
That's funny.
It's the Sphinx.
That's pretty funny.
I feel like there is a huge section of our education system in the States that's all about ancient Egypt. As an Egyptian, what was that like for you?
I don't even remember. I know that we did that, but I don't remember it. I feel like I didn't learn anything.
Because, like,
school.
I know for me, even though I'm not Egyptian, people would still turn to me or my sisters being like, what do you think? And I'm like, and I can only imagine being actually Egyptian.
Wait, you're talking about like Mesopotamia?
Yeah,
that's as much as I know about history. Like Mesopotamia.
What we learned about like pharaohs and stuff. And like,
right. I thought that was like the Mesopotamia. I cannot say Mesopotamia.
Okay. I say her name wrong. You say Mesopotamia wrong.
Well, let's see. Which one's the harder? Mesopotamia. It's easy. It's honestly, if I called it mesothelioma, would you have noticed? Let's be real. This is how like inundated. Okay. This is how deep into culture I am. Is if someone had been like, you know, the era of mesothelioma, I'd be like, yeah. Uh-huh. Not I remember long. That.
Totally.
In
yes.
Middle school. I think we learned about it in middle school, but that's such a generalized whitewashed era of history class.
Yeah.
They're like, and then they like had things on the wall. They called them hieroglyphics.
Uh-huh. Hieroglyphs.
Mm-hmm. And then there was like a guy, he was the king. And then when he was done, they like put him in a really fancy tomb. All right, next chapter. And you're like, what? This shit is wild. And then they just like move it along. And you're like, it's so. And then they show you that movie, The King.
The Prince of Egypt?
The Prince of Egypt. And they're like, mm-hmm. See?
Great music in that movie. Really
oh, yeah,
music.
Great. They're like, they tried to throw him into a well or whatever to kill him, but he's prince now. Anyway, so that's how Egypt worked. All right, next. And you're like,
wait, but the Prince of Egypt is about Moses.
See, I don't even know. I just remember them isn't showing it? That movie during that era, me being like, this, what is this?
Wait, no, isn't it? No, not Moses. Not, sorry, wrong prophet. Who's the Prince of Egypt about?
Honey, this is as far as I know. They tried to throw him into the alligators and someone saved him. And then
that's
he was
a
the
real
prince.
Story from the Bible, the Quran, and also I think the Torah.
I need to come clean and say I've never seen it.
You know what? So I don't probably know. For the best. It sounds like it's not accurate.
I was like, oh, are they going to find out? I should just tell them. Oh, I have
okay. I forgot that fucking Prince Moses is voiced by Val Kilmer.
Also, yes. I know that. This is a Jeffrey Katzenberg project. The guy who made Quibi is behind this. You know what?
Oh my God.
Let's move on.
Wait. Of deep. Course the music is good. It's composed by Hans Zimmer. Who knew?
Oh.
Wow. Val Kilmer. Wow. And Ralph Fiennes. This is Brother Ramses. Wow. What a whitewashed experience.
Okay, it is about Moses.
Yeah, I was right. It was about Moses. But Moses? It's a story that's in a lot of religious texts.
Okay, so they're showing us that movie and being like, see? History. And you're like, is that right?
At least for me, I studied a good amount of art history, both in high school and in college. I feel like they purposely only show us or teach us ancient parts of the Middle East, even like Asian countries, but like brown countries. They purposely make us think that they're stuck in these archaic times and they never progress after that. And then after
right,
a certain point, the only art you learn about is European white art. And it really infuriates me because there's so much art that like, not even just art, there's so much culture that we're not even privy to because the fucking abysmal white American education system only makes us think that these things are archaic and savage, you know? And we don't think they ever progress after that because we're not taught like they are.
Damn.
Yeah. And even the concept of like a third world country is something that was implemented by like the US. The fact that I grew up and people were like, you're from a third world country, which I thought was true. Syria, like, is it a third world country? Technically, that's what Americans told me. But they only said that to like reinforce this imperialism hierarchy bullshit. Sorry.
I think a third world country is wherever you need to crowdfund healthcare.
Exactly. Crowdfund healthcare. In my mind, America defined a third world country as a place that they could exploit. They could exploit and mask it as introducing civilization to them, which is so, I mean, we've seen it happen in so many countries.
It's funny because like from an Egyptian perspective before the war, it always seemed to me like Syria was like this fancy place to go visit. That's like
interesting.
Like you go to Damascus and you eat like fine foods, you know, like it. That's, I really regret not going there when I lived there because it was like right there. But I was
mean,
like,
that's why I feel about Cairo. That's
really like my friends would just go there like for fun, like on a weekend. And I just be like, oh, it seems so cool. I'll get to it eventually. And then I didn't. And now I can't.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel about so many places in the Middle East. That's how I feel about Iran. That's how I feel about, I mean, so many places I wish I would have just jumped over to.
Yeah.
Well, should we take our last break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
We're back.
Do you remember Jeffrey Ruta, the art history professor?
Oh my God, at Davis? Yes.
Fuck that guy.
He was a dick.
He just made everything so
racist
hard.
Dick.
He was racist?
I mean, I'm projecting.
I would believe it. I mean, allegedly, let's not get sued.
He was
allegedly
a mean
racist.
Wait, did you guys go to college together?
Too much.
Yeah, we did. We went to college together. No, there was this professor of art history who just went out of his way to make things so hard, it felt like. I don't know
okay,
what.
Okay, I take it back. I don't think, I feel bad that I called him racist without knowing if he is or not. But I do think that he was one of those people that was very stuck in the white ways of teaching.
Oh,
you
dude,
know what I mean?
All it was like Renaissance and Baroque. Like, I was like, cool, bro. Get it. Oh, God. But then the way he spoke about things, it felt like he was purposefully trying to be a fucking asshole. And I was like, this could be easier to understand. It could be.
Very condescending.
That's, yes. He was the most condescending art professor. Where I'd be like, you're a teacher. You're a teacher. Your only job is to help us understand. Why are you treating us like idiots? Like, yes, we're taking a class to learn. I didn't come in being like, I'm actually the professor. So you prove to me that you're smarter than me. So it's like, I'm a student, bro. I want to learn this shit. It sounds interesting, but you're treating me like I'm a dumb motherfucker, which I am. But you're not, I mean, like, there's an unspoken rule. You don't treat me like that.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. I think having a good teacher really changes the way that you not only absorb the information, but are interested in like anything. Like, I don't know if you ever took any architecture classes, but there was an amazing architecture professor. And I loved that class. And I ended up loving architecture even more because he was a great teacher. So I don't know. It's you can say that about any kind of teaching. It's just a good teacher changes everything.
I digress. Whatever. I heard he retired right after we graduated, which is so annoying. You're like, cool.
Anyway, let's bring it back.
All right, Dahlia. And did you have any professors you hated? Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, let me think of their full names
names. I know. I really did just come out. You're like, Jeffrey Ruta. Your name's been your card's been pulled, brother.
Ugh. Their names and their addresses. Give me a sec here.
And tell us, let us know when they retired. That's a part of this. Ugh, I'm sorry to bring him up. He's just a bummer.
You bring up a good point. Not only is our education system so flawed, but not everyone should be a teacher. And when, I don't know, this is a whole other tangent about the education system and how teachers are not appreciated. And even when they do get paid a good amount, sometimes they're just dicks. I don't know. But I think I'm just mad about society as a whole. I don't think I ever brought up this documentary filmmaker before, but Adam Curtis just released a new documentary series. And I'm a big Adam Curtis fan. And this one is called Can't Get You Out of My Head. And he's so good at cataloging how human history has progressed to get us to this certain point, whether it's climate change or technology or whatever. And after at the end of every segment, I'm just left feeling so dead inside and hopeless. So it's successful.
That's how I felt about Bridgerton, you know? I'm like, is he gonna come? I'm just joking. I'm sorry. That was... Anyone
I haven't
has seen
it.
Bridgerton.
Is that a plot device?
Kind of. I mean, maybe it's the entire story. It's hard to say anymore.
Have you seen Bridgerton?
Oh, me? Sorry, no. Yeah. I was just thinking about one of my teachers in high school.
Oh, please share.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, he was like a real dick. And then I used to like look him up from time to time to see what happened to him. And he died. And I was like, well.
Yeah.
Did you just look him up right now?
No, I think it was last year that I looked him up and found out he was dead. And I was like, he was awful. Like, he gave me an F.
Wow.
And that was probably my fault. But he also, like, threatened to hit my best friend. He was like, he's like, I don't like hitting girls. But, like, it was like, that was supposed to be the implication.
Some teachers are fucking not supposed to be teachers. If you think you should hit a child, you shouldn't be a teacher. Yeah. Okay, you're not like my dad in Iran in the 1940s, where if you were like remotely said anything, they would smack the shit out of you. Like, give me a come on.
Okay, well, I want to bring it back to you. I feel like stand-up comics have been really hit hard by the past year, the past pandemic, because there's this whole hustle mentality where you have to, like, your whole life becomes stand-up and you go out and shows are a huge part of your life, and all of a sudden all of that get like swept out from underneath you. So how have you been coping with that?
I've been handling it really well with a lot of maturity. Just kidding. No, I don't know. I've just been like forcing myself to do online shows and I don't like it, but I feel like I would be a lot more depressed if I wasn't still talking to comedians and doing that and like exercising the muscle of telling jokes in front of some sort of audience, even if it's virtual. I do really hate it, but it's better than nothing, I think.
Yeah.
I had a few festivals lined up last year that all got either canceled or moved to like this year, or they became virtual. And I was just like, you know, 2020 was going to be my year. And
yeah.
Maybe 2023. but yeah, I was like, I was going to go to Edinburgh last year and that didn't happen, and it might not happen this year either. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just like so many things pulled out of the rug was pulled from under me. I don't know expressions.
That sounds about right. I almost
something
said
was
it wrong
pulled out.
A couple
Someone pulled
ago.
Out. Someone yeah. pulled out.
Pull out method never fun. Yeah.
Yes. Pull and yeah, all we have left is like Zoom shows, and I do a show on Twitch, and it's definitely not as rewarding as doing it in front of a live audience. But I've also gotten to like reconnect with comedians in other scenes and like my friends in the UK who I don't get to see as often anymore. So that's always been cool, having like these mixed lineups that would never happen in person. Mm-hmm. So nice. I guess that's the silver lining.
Yeah, for sure.
That is interesting that now that like Zoom is so in the forefront of our minds about everything, like now it's like very easy to just like people I just like wouldn't talk to if it wasn't like not that I wouldn't talk to, but like I wouldn't talk to as often because it's like, oh, I'll come visit you in like a month or so. So we're not like chatting every day. And then now with these friends, we're like talking more often because we all of a sudden like Zoom. We're thinking Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm Zooming.
FaceTime. Yeah.
Though I will say, I do kind of hate like at work now, like everything has to be a Zoom call when originally it just would have been a phone call. And you're like, what do you need to look at? I'm zoning out. Like, I will respond when you direct a question at me. Like, we don't need to be looking at each other. I hate it.
Yeah. I do think like, I love Nathan Fielder, and maybe this whole thing was just Zoom the company. This is their way of making everyone use Zoom, you know? Like, his idea to make Zoom happen was make everyone stay home and being forced to reconnect. Because I'm positive, like, 90% of people didn't even... no one knew what this program was, you know? I've never heard of Zoom before. And now everyone can't get enough of it, so...
Zoom created the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, that one... the pandemic first started, there was a really funny meme going around where it was like Scooby-Doo. And, you know, at the end, they pull off the mask and it's always someone. And then at the end, they pull it off and it's Zoom.
That's really good.
We're laughing, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the transition from doing live shows to being to just, I mean, talking to your camera or laptop essentially is probably so different. And so it's just harder to feel normal in your job and your passions that way. I'm glad that there's a silver lining and like you're able to reconnect with people that are in different scenes than you and everything. And the show that we were both helping Fizza on, this was my first writing jokes for other people kind of thing. And it's been a nice experience. Like I kind of forgot for a long time, especially last year, that I'm funny, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like you forget that you're funny or you're creative or you can write or anything when you're just like stuck with yourself. And yeah. The minute you're like making someone laugh, you're like, oh yeah, this feels really good. I forgot. So I have liked that reminder at the very least.
Yeah, it's been really different from doing stand-up. And I think that's why I've enjoyed it. It's mm-hmm.
like an exercise.
I don't know. It
almost.
Kind of like demystified this process of working with other people.
Right. Yeah. I felt the same way. I really love Fizza. So that was a huge reason why I said yes. But just working with you and all the other writers, it's been really fun. And I think there is the silver lining because if it was, maybe I wouldn't have said yes to something like this without the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's this, at the very least, being stuck at home during a pandemic where there are different opportunities that are available to us. And like, why not? You know, like, what mm-hmm. else are you doing? So
could you imagine if we had to do this and also like find parking and like drive to a place where we all meet and like find a time that suits our schedule and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I probably still would have done it. But
yeah, me too. It's really fun. And I really like writing and I love comedy. And so, and I got to meet you and so many other great comics and writers. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is just like take the silver linings where they are, like where you can get them. And it's just, it's really more for me to implement and like, and cement that into myself because it's hard to remember that like, it's, there's something good to be gleaned somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I hate this pandemic, but I also hate leaving my house. So I kind of hope that if we do have projects like this in the future, maybe we can do them on Zoom so we don't have to like get stuck mm-hmm. in traffic and find parking. Yeah. But I really hate leaving my bed so much.
Oh my God.
But
don't even get me started. I hate leaving my bed. I hate anything that asks me. That's who I've become. If you need something from me, I ain't happy. And that's it.
But like, but tell me this. Like, I love my bed too.
I'm not happy.
But
you want me to tell you something? I'm not happy.
I feel very old and I feel like aging is catching up to me because I'm not able to sleep in like I used to. Like, my body starts to hurt if I stay in bed too long. And it really like I used to be able to sleep in. And now I'm just up at fucking 7:30, 8 o'clock because my body hurts. I just feel so old.
That's wild.
I'm the same way.
I'm actually not. I'm like always exhausted. And if I don't need to wake up for something, you're never going to hear from me. Like, I will literally roll out of bed around like 2. I mean, I might wake up at like 10 or 11, but I'll be watching a YouTube video on like knitting. Like, I don't even know. Like, I'll just be like, I'll be so in like a mindset of like there is like, you see how this background is blurry? That's like what my eyes see. Cause I'm just like, I'm so checked out. Like, my eyes aren't focusing. Like, if I have the opportunity, I mean, I guess I also work a lot. I work like 6 days a week, like 10 to 12 hour days. Podcasting is hell. But like the second I have time off, hit my joint, literally like lose consciousness. I'm awake. My eyes are open. Nothing going on in my mind. And that's my ideal state. Like, absolutely nothing. Like, my boyfriend will ask me a question and it'll take like 10 minutes for it to register what he said. And I'll be like, oh, yeah. And then he'll be like, you'll never listen. And I'm like, oh. And that's it. And that's who I want to be so bad at this age in my life. The mere age of 30. I'm like, put me down. Just put me fucking down. I'm so tired. Was that sad? Was that dark?
I'm also tired, but I think I just have a lot of chronic pain issues and bone issues, and everything just hurts all the time for me, because I thought it was just how everyone felt all the time. Like, I thought everyone's body hurt all the time, and I'm realizing that's not the case. So,
I mean, I think as you get older, everyone's body starts to hurt.
Yeah.
I'll, like, if I turn around too quickly. Mm-hmm. That's it. I've thrown my back out.
Yeah. I feel like I'm atrophying if I stay in bed. It's not like I wake up like raring to go, mm-hmm. but I'm just like, everything hurts and I can't go back to sleep.
Same. I have the same issue.
So I'm like, let me drag myself out of bed and just be tired on the couch.
That's exactly what I do. Yeah, atrophying is a good way to describe that feeling. It just feels like I'm like, I don't know. And I'll go on one side and my shoulder will hurt on that side, and I'll go on the other. I'll go on my back. I don't know. It's just a whole getting old.
Not really exercising very much, which yeah. I probably should change, but I don't know. Do you guys play video games? I got a Ring Fit on my Switch and I played it twice and then I didn't play it ever again. I was like, this was hard. And I don't want a video game that makes me get up.
I have a Switch, but it didn't occur to me. Like, for the longest time, I didn't understand what a Ring Fit was. Like, I would see the ads and I'd be like, why would you need a controller like that? And then after a while, I was like, oh, this is a workout thing.
Anyway. I got through the intro. They were like showing me how to use the controls. And I was like, I was like, I need to sit and take a break.
I mean, it's fair. It's hard for me to have the motivation to work out consistently. I'm trying to do like gentle things with my body, like yoga or like something very soft and nice to myself. But like my sister, on the other hand, she has an Apple Watch and she works out all the time. And she got my mom an Apple Watch and they keep track of each other's, if their rings are closed and all that stuff. And I just know myself and I would get way too neurotic. Like, I don't even have, you know, like when your iPhone can track your steps, I have that turned off because I know if it was on, I would get so neurotic about it. I just know myself too well. I have a very addictive personality. So in contrast of that, I'm just trying to be nice to myself and not feel so much pressure to just constantly... There's no pressure.
I got two puppies during this pandemic, one a year ago and one very recently. Oh. And I feel like chasing after them is enough of a workout.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, I talk about taking them on a hike constantly, and I feel like that conversation is in itself a workout.
One day it will come true.
Yeah, it's just... It's so exhausting to think about that I feel like it's already happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps having a dog. I have to like walk him and then I go out and do things. But yeah, just thinking about it just now, I got very tired.
I mean, but having a dog, you're right. It's a good excuse. You go outside at the very least. You go on a walk. Like I realized the other day, I took out my recycling. It was like the first time I had... seen the sun in like 3 days, and I was like, oh, outside that exists. So I gotta be better about my walks too. I used to be on top of it, but I fell off hard. But it's okay. Be nice to yourself, get back into it. If it feels good, keep doing it. Yada yada yada.
Yada yada yada. You guys get it. Yada yada yada. All right, shut up. Okay, yada yada. I love that. Yada yada yada. You get it. Take care of yourself. Whatever, dude. Honestly, die. I don't even care. Whatever. You know what? Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Okay? You know what? Do what you want, which is nothing. So, you know what? It's up to you, but you should, but you shouldn't, but you should. Was that helpful?
Well, on that.
That was inspiring.
That's like literally what goes through my mind 24/7. Like, go ahead. Yeah, don't do it. No, you don't want it. Don't do it. Yeah, of course you should do it. Come on. It's good for you. You know what? It's up to you. It's your life. Treat yourself. You know what? Don't treat yourself too hard because then you'll get spoiled. You know what? You're going too far. You know what? Back it off a little. You know what? Live your life. Literally 24/7. My life is hell. Is that not clear how I act on text to you? I'm just so all over the place.
I didn't put it together until just now, but
I'm always like, I'm gonna do this. You know what? I'm gonna kill myself. You know what? I'm actually feeling great. You know what? I should die. You know what? I love this. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm never leaving my bed again. You know what? All
Here's
things are great.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like that in pandemic, like, what?
Yeah, if you're thriving right now, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're completely wrong. And
oh, Lord.
I don't want to see a happy selfie. I'm sorry. I'm a hater. I'm just a hater. My real self is a hater, and I'm fine with that.
My real self is a hater. Yep.
I just think
truer
like,
words have never been spoken. My real self is a hater. And the funny part is like, it's not kind. Like you're not hiding your real self.
Like, I guess not. I
just
guess
you
always
guys know
hating.
My real self is a hater, and everyone's like, yeah, we've met you. Which is
I guess
fine.
It's not a surprise.
We all are. Are we not all our real selves just a hater?
Deep down.
I feel like everyone else is just very hateable. It's not me. Yeah. It's them.
Exactly.
You really just scroll Thank through you. Instagram and you're like, eye roll. You're rolling your eyes so hard you're barely looking at what you're scrolling yeah. through.
Yeah. Same.
Oh, did
you're
you
right.
did you buy
right.
a house during this time of financial crisis? Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Everything's
for
going
you.
Great. Everything's
so happy
great.
For you. Do you own property now while everyone else is trying to find food?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to remember
that glad you
that
took
quote.
A picture and bragged about it.
Oh, you're in Joshua Tree every weekend? Every weekend you're in Joshua
Palm
Tree?
Palm Springs.
Wow. Wait, are we talking about the same person?
There's like 45 people in LA who go to fucking Palm Springs every weekend and they're all
they
in the
They go to Joshua
community.
Tree and they buy houses. That's all they do.
Yeah.
Oh, you're still there? Oh, you're still in Joshua Tree? Oh, wow. Beautiful. You camp every 5 minutes? Wow. You're really out there, huh? You're really taking advantage of this time you have off, huh?
Yeah, you're disconnecting. You're finding yourself. Yeah, good for you.
Wow, you're constantly but I will remember just that quote. Cooking fish outside on the hot pavement because yeah. you can? Wow, you're so creative.
I do like that you said... It's not that, like, everyone else is hateable. We're not hater. Everyone else is just so hateable, you know? I like that.
I refuse to look inward.
Yeah. I refuse to look inward. I love it. Okay, well,
we? Not in this economy.
not
this has
today.
Been a delight. I feel like the rich couple of friends gabbing, you know?
I thought you said it,
it's not true.
I heard a rich couple of friends. I was like, what?
Oh. A bunch that was of just rich a Freudian girlfriends. Slip. That was my dream.
We're just no, all okay. really rich and we're just like gabbing. We're like Sex oh, no. in the City, huh?
Wow. But this has been delightful. I'm so glad that we met, that you came on the show, and hopefully one day we can hang out in person if time allows it, you know?
I hope so.
But until then, where can our listeners find you on the internet if you want to be found?
My website, DahliaMalik.com, is somewhat updated, although everything I do live is virtual now, so you can find me on the internet. My Twitter is just Dahlia, D-A-L-I-A, and Dahlia Malik on Instagram. Leave me alone on Facebook. Don't talk to me there. That's just for me and my friends. You're not my friend. You guys are my friends, but I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Rami Malek, who's listening to this and thinking that he can get familiar with me. If we're related, you can add me on Facebook. I think that's it. I have a Twitch show that used to happen in real life, and now it's on twitch.tv/interruption show. And that's where I bring rotating co-hosts to join me in interrupting stand-up comedians in the middle of their sets.
Oh my God, what a dream.
That's fun.
I was once described as the world's most annoying audience member.
Hell yeah.
I love that. I really love that. Okay, well, I'm gonna close this out. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. It's Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at InnaHosni on Twitter. Instagram, I mean, who cares, guys? I don't post. Stop trying to follow me on it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's private because...
Who cares at this point?
Yeah, who cares? I'm not posting anything. I'm just, like, crying about my cat being too difficult to give shots to, okay? Who cares?
I mean, I might delete my Instagram. I mean, I'm just very disillusioned with social media recently. I might delete it all. Who knows? But until then, stay interrupting.
Until then, send us your Instagram pics of you jumping or, you know, leaning on a pyramid and or the Sphinx. You know, we would love to see them. You know you have them. Don't deny it. We're not just calling you out to make you feel bad, but like we kind of are. But like send them because I need to be proven correct.
It's okay if you're basic. Everyone else is too.
Yeah, I'll do it too.
This has been ethnically engineered.
Yes.
We are a eugenics podcast now. Sorry. We're not. Please don't quote that. Okay.
Bye.
Au revoir. Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.